evening. So just as I was about to leave, I came across somebody sent me another translation of the Sandokai, and I didn't have time to do anything but copy it out once on the computer, but I will do that for all of you next week. But I'll read you the first, translated by James Kenny. Gautama's tender heart rocks east and west in the cradle of India. People differ in their views, but who has a monopoly on the truth? That's how it begins. So I think you'll enjoy it. And he said he's worked on it for years with his Japanese teacher. And I don't know who that teacher is, but... So he was working with the Japanese, the original Japanese, and this is what he came up with. So in the end, he says, do you get it? Don't live your life by rules. Unless you pay attention to feelings, you won't know where to go. Just go. It's not a long way. So it's a teaching all by itself. So this is the first four lines that Suzuki Roshi is talking about this time. The mind of the great sage of India is intimately transmitted from west to east. While human faculties are sharp or dull, the way has no northern or southern ancestors. And if you don't know the history of Zen, this really doesn't make any sense at all. So we talked about it a little bit last week. And Suzuki Roshi spells it out again, that Sekito, who wrote this poem, was a student of Huineng. And Huineng himself encountered this duality that it's the Sandokai is all about. In his practice, as you probably know, he was an illiterate woodcutter who hiked 1,000 miles after he heard the Diamond Sutra to meet a teacher. And the teacher, they just put him to work in the basement pounding rice until he heard someone reciting a little poem about how, I've forgotten the poem now, but it's that you have to polish the mirror in order to keep it bright, basically. And he heard that and he said, well, I don't know. I would say it a different way. And so he asked somebody to come with him and write it next to it on the wall where it was posted. And he said, there's no mirror, there's no dust, there's nothing to worry about at all. And the teacher heard about that and called him in and gave him the robe and the bowl at midnight, which is why in our tradition now, if our some aspects of Soto Zen, the transmission is done at midnight in a special room with the teacher, and it's all very dark and mysterious because Huineng received the bowl and the robe from his teacher that way. So he went off and lived with hunters for a while, and then he became a very fine teacher. And we've studied his sutra, or the Platform Sutra, a number of times, and we can do it again because it's always wonderful. And Sekito was one of his students, but he was restless and took off and had several other teachers before he encountered his teacher. And I have this little history of that those encounters with Yun Yan, which ended up with Sekito seeing his own reflection and realizing there was no duality at all. So Suzuki Roshi says the main point of Sandokai is to explain reality from two sides. Usually in our life, we bring up one side and that's enough, and then we study it very hard and get the whole picture and think we know something. But actually, unless you bring up both sides, it's very, very lopsided. San means many and Do means one. So even if you say many, Suzuki says, the many things do not exist separately from each other. They're closely related. In fact, they're one. It's very hard for our brains to allow that. We just don't like it. And yet, if we give it some thought, it's obvious. Many is right and one is right. Even though we say one, we cannot ignore the various beings like stars and moons, animals and fish. And that's what Sekito was taught by his teacher, Yun Yan. Said, who says? Well, it's the trees and the stars and the rocks. Suzuki says, to be different is to have value. In this sense, all things have equal absolute value. Each thing has absolute value and thus is equal to everything else. So when you start feeling really bad about yourself, remember this. This is the truth. And everyone should know it and not forget. So the line, while human faculties are sharp or dull, is, he says, about the northern and the southern school. So what happened was that Wu Neng started the southern school. He was from the south, so he went back south. You can still visit his temple down there, and he's still there. They dried him up and put him in a little tomb-like thing, and you can actually see him. How many, 1,000 years later, so. And the other one, whose name slips me at the moment, went north, or stayed up in the north, and taught his polishing the mirror side of things, just as Wu Neng did the no dust on the mirror to dust to take off. But they were not, though I was taught in the beginning of my practice that they were terrible rivals and they hated each other and they were, I mean, it sounded really terrible. But it's not true. They've done a tremendous amount of research and found that they respected each other extremely much and actually taught both sides. They both taught both sides. But one emphasized one a little more. And, you know, the we're a big mess and we better practice hard side, or the side that says, nothing wrong at all, we're perfect just as we are. So you need both. And they had both. And we still do as a result of all of that. So Suzuki talks about the three aspects of the capacity of the human mind, and I don't quite know. He's talking about human faculties being sharp or dull. He says we have potentiality, interrelationship, and appropriateness. This sounds very heady to me, but he says potentiality is about possibility, and we have the possibility to become Buddhas, he says. On the other hand, if you observe in terms of time, even if somebody has potentiality, if that person isn't helped along and has a practice, he cannot be a Buddha. Now, this is not how I learned it, actually. This is Suzuki's teaching. And in one sense, of course, what Dogen said was that our sitting itself is Buddha, is enlightenment, and that each being is Buddha nature, not has Buddha nature. So that we sit is what we're looking for, that there's no Buddha place to go to from here, that the Buddha place is right here where we are. He said, when we understand potentiality in terms of nature, we should be very kind and generous to everyone, because everyone naturally has the possibility to be a Buddha. But I have heard that in another lecture that he gave, he was talking about Buddha and Buddha nature, and he started pointing around the room, Buddha, 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 everything he could see. So, again, I think he's being a little academic here. And he talks about sincerity and dedication of practice, which is, he says, when you don't think about your time, you can be generous with it, with everybody. As I said not too long ago, just say yes to everything. But as he's pointing out here, if you think about it, you really can't be so generous if you lose the time of practice. He said we should be very strict with ourselves. You can work and practice very well, sometimes in a very generous way and sometimes in a very strict way. And I think that's excellent advice. And it's hard to discern as life unrolls itself through us. Ki means also relationship or interrelationship. Between a Buddha and someone with a good nature and between a Buddha and someone with a bad nature. He said it's a relative term, but we should encourage people to be good, to have a good nature, giving them some joy of practice. And that's true. That's, I think, why there's always a suggestion to smile, that it can feel grim to sit sometimes, and kind of gritting of teeth aspect to it, of trying to accomplish this thing, to stay on the way and to stay aligned and all of that. And that smile unleashes the joyful side, which is always, always, always here. he says you should share the joy of practice with good people and he says a zendo doesn't mean anything to someone who is suffering too much. It won't even be accepted. So what you do is suffer with that person. I remember in a Sesshin once, a woman was there who had just endured a real tragedy. And she cried through most of the Sesshin quietly on her cushion. And during the question and answer at the end, she said to Koban, "You know, I can't stop crying. What shall I do?" He said, "We'll just cry with you." And of course, then we all started to cry. This, I think, is excellent advice in many, many situations. If there's something you can do, do it. And if you can't, you can suffer. The third meaning of ki, he says, is good means or appropriate use, like finding the right cover for a pot. If you see people who are suffering because of ignorance, because they don't know what they're doing, you suffer with them. When you see people who enjoy their true nature, you should share their joy and give them encouragement. This is to have a good, appropriate relationship. And of course, that's the other side. Sometimes people feel kind of jealous when somebody had something good happen and not quite find a place inside to share that joy. Oh, I wish I could have that, whatever that good thing is. Wish I could be there or go there or have that. But if you leave the I part out of that, you can just feel the surge of joy that whoever is feeling it can feel it too. He says, people become confused because of the way they evaluate things, discriminating between the dull and the keen. But from the standpoint of the ancestors, they are the same. All the ancestors understood this point. So there is no northern ancestor or southern ancestor. That is Sekito's understanding. To practice is not to collect things and put them in your basket, but rather to find something in your sleeve. It's just that before you study hard, you don't know what you have in your sleeve. Quote, Buddha and I have the same thing? Oh, that's amazing. That's the spirit we must have. He says, you should study hard. Even if you don't like what I say, you shouldn't accept it. That's okay. Eventually, you may accept it. If you say no, I will say, okay, but go ahead and try hard. He says, I think that is the characteristic of Buddhism. So there's no fixed place to stand. No fixed place to put our mind. This is a mind-opening practice. And Sekito understood that and found a way to express it. Are there questions?
Question about the potentiality and how you're contrasting that with Dogen's interpretation that we all are human nature. And
Yes. So to create that idea that some people are enlightened and others are not, mm-hmm. is really a heresy in Buddhism. And Dogen talks about that in Bendoa. The heretics that claim that there is that separation, the bad people are bad and the good people are good.
I guess what I was wondering is if a lot of this is about duality, then what's the flip side of moral enlightenment? That we all have to work at it, or that we all have potential, or?
I think that we all have potential.
Uh-huh.
Or that our potential of in life is what drives us to practice. That it's not a moral imperative that says, oh, you must do this thing and then you will feel all better and or anything like that. It's that if we engage in this practice, then we're engaging in something that requires a certain amount of discipline and self-knowledge that requires what he's suggesting. That the potential is here for a really good life of practice, but it takes a lot of doing. It's a practice of action rather than any kind of theory about it. Of course, we'd much rather theorize sometimes than actually sit down and do it. Paul?
This came up in another group. In fact, I believe there's a koan. If we're all Buddhists, why do we sit?
Yeah.
And we sit because we're all Buddhists.
Yes.
And it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Why do pianists play the piano? You know, same deal. We sit because we sit.
That's what we are. Exactly.
That's us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think the other monk was Master Ma, the head monk.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to another koan where Master Ma ran after Rinnegan and tried to get the bowl in the rope from him.
Yes, that's right.
And he couldn't.
That's
and then
right.
He asked me for the secret knowledge.
Yes.
And he said, well, without thinking good or evil, show me your original face.
Show me your face.
And he just goes, gotcha.
Thank you. I'd forgotten that wonderful part of the story.
Yeah,
yeah, they were going to kill Wee Neng.
Yeah.
They were really mad.
We were after him.
Yeah.
But who could know anything from the Southern School?
Of course.
They're all fools.
Yes. Anything else?
Her translation is different than what's in the book.
What we chanted tonight
yes.
is a little bit different from yes. what's in the book.
So that's from Kogan.
That's the Kogan version?
I'm assuming because Ellie got it from the email.
It's the Doan handbook. It's just the version that was in there.
Yeah, that's not the...
chance.
We had the Zen-centered version, which is the one in the beginning of this book. That's the one that he taught us. And then there's the one in the back from Green Gulch, and I think they've changed it a lot of times, the way they've done the Heart Sutra. The Zen Center is hot to change. So somebody will study a little Japanese or Chinese and think, oh, we've got to change it now and make it all different. Make it more accurate. So, but this one will do. This is fine.
Yeah.
But I'll bring you this other one. Yeah. And whoever doesn't have this little history of Seiki Toh's training with his teacher, it's right here.
Is that what you passed out?
I passed it out. I guess Karen, you haven't had it, and Bree, you may not have it either.
Okay.
Oh, I have a translation here. So many things. Oh, goodness.
Just two.
No, just three.
Yeah. Oh, three. Perfect.
Thank you. One for Ron. Perfect.
Thank you.
Oh, this is the letter about Tassajara's and mountains. Practice period, summer work period, and I will mention it again that it's going to be open pretty soon from April 28th to September 11th, and you can go for a few days at a time or a week at a time or a month or so. You work in the morning and you sit in the hot tub and splash in the cold creek and take long hikes up to beautiful, beautiful waterfalls and pastures and wildflowers. You can see more information on the Tassajara website.
I've already booked.
You're booked.
I book right now.
You always go.
I go around Labor Day.
Uh-huh.
So if anybody has questions, I can answer.
Good. Well, we're working on incorporation. We're putting together a board of directors. Can you believe it? Floating Zendo. And John Lowney is being a huge, huge help for all of this. And so there'll be more information as we get finished with it, but we're chugging right along. We're going to be legal and legitimate in the world. Should we do our 1 minute sit?
Other announcements?
Oh, yes. Announcements.
And there is an opportunity to serve the Sangha for a short time position and serving on the scholarship policy, Sashin Scholarship Policy Committee. We don't have an acronym yet. So if you are interested, let me know. We'd like to have the scholarship policy formulated by May.
Sashin is in August. So we're already preparing for Sashin in a number of different ways. Okay.
And then Samia is in Kukio next week, since I'm filling in for Carol, and I think Carol will be here next week. So, and then we're back on regular location. So if anybody has questions about who's next, okay.
Thank you, Marie.